Well, hello, Gateway Church. It's a joy to be with you again. Justin has very kindly asked me to share with you this morning. And we have a scripture which I'm going to read to you. And as you probably know, you're in this series. And particularly today, we want to be thinking about how we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And so there's some cool stuff I want to share. So our passage is from Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read a couple of verses from in there. So if you've got it on your phone or you've got a paper Bible in front of you, would you turn it up? Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 18. So I'll read it to you now. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to a bunch of Christians. They've probably not been believers that many years. They're in a city where it's really hostile environment, where it's not easy to be a Christian. There are some believers, but the majority view is not Christian at this time. And so he's writing to encourage them and to inspire them to walk well with Jesus. And he's at this point in the text, he's praying in written form some of the stuff that he would long for them to be like. So he says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he, that's God, our Heavenly Father, has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And as I look at this passage, this is a wonderful text for helping us think about the power that we can access as we walk in step with God's Holy Spirit. So let me just tell you something that we've been doing here that might be a good way just to illustrate this, and let us jump in. So since all this coronavirus craziness kicked off, so myself, Hannah, my wife, some of you remember when we were with you in person back in last summer, and our three young adult sons, in fact, one of their friends who lives with us as well. So we've been really praying and seeking the Lord for that. How can we be on mission at this time? Because when this interesting phenomena where coronavirus has come, which I believe is something that's sent from the enemy, it's not from God. God doesn't send sickness because he only gives what he has, and there's no sickness in heaven. So God's not a mean, judgmental, kind of nasty approach to us. But in Christ, all judgment's been taken upon Christ at the cross. So until the final judgment, God's not in the business of sending judgment or plagues over people. But nevertheless, God can use bad stuff. He can work all things for good for those he loves him. And I think there's an interesting thing going on right now where God has allowed his church to be scattered. And if you think about it, we're used to being gathered in these central spaces. You've got this fabulous church building, that beautiful location with the hill behind and all the space you've got there. And it's a lovely place to be. But God's allowed us to be scattered. And if you think about it, we've been scattered into our homes, into our streets and neighborhoods and little communities where we find ourselves. And we need to take the posture of saying, well, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to do at this time? You might not have created coronavirus. You might, like us, hate it and want it to end. And I believe the Lord will bring it to an end as well. But nevertheless, in this in-between time, God can use us. So we have a responsibility as followers of Christ to say, Lord, how are you at work here? How can I join you in your mission, even though there's this bad stuff going on? And I think we get a clear insight from the Acts of the Apostles, because in Acts what you see is from early on the church is a scattered church. So if you remember the story in Acts 6 of Stephen, one of the early converts, gets arrested, and in chapter 7 and beginning of chapter 8 he's testifying before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, and he testifies that Jesus is indeed God, and as a result of that he's executed. So he's the first Christian martyr. And in the aftermath of his being stoned to death, this fierce persecution breaks out. And the church, which at that point had been very kind of comfortable sitting in Jerusalem, worshipping in the temple, having a jolly old time together, they then get scattered and they spread across the region and ultimately across the world. And what we read in Acts 8 is that as the church go, as people are sent out, they share the message of Christ. and they become missionaries to those different environments where they find themselves. And I think that's the interpretive key for how we are meant to be operating in this season. We are meant to recognize that every single one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, and by the way, if you're watching me and you're not yet sure if you're a follower of Jesus, well, you need to know this is the deal if you choose to follow Jesus. And it's a weighty thing. You need to consider this seriously, because it's not a light thing to become a follower of Christ. Now, I think it's the best decision you can ever make, so don't get me wrong, but it's not just a kind of, oh, I've just got this free pass to heaven, Willy Wonka's golden ticket, I'm all sorted. No, 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 it's far more serious than that, because part of being a Christian, part of being a follower of Jesus, is that you join him in his great mission to this world. You follow Jesus as he seeks to bring more of his kingdom rule, his active presence, his transformatory power into every nook and cranny of culture and society where God places you. And God has got this amazing vision, this amazing plan for seeing every person set free from the things that hold us back, from our sin, from our bondage to the enemy, from addiction, from suffering, from pain, from sickness. And he wants to positively release his life and release his hope and release his direction. And so that's the business that Jesus is in, and we're called to join him in that. And we're in this time now where all of us find ourselves under lockdown, or version of that, in our geographical neighbourhoods, in our streets. And I believe part of what we're meant to be doing in this time is recognising that we're called to be missionaries to our streets and to our neighbours. And the way you do that is you have to learn to be attentive to the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you as you walk in your neighbourhood? What is the Spirit nudging you and prompting you to do as you're aware of needs amongst your neighbours? What is the Spirit saying to you as you perhaps chat 6 feet away or through text message or whatever it is with your neighbours, and you hear the fear and the worry and the concern or the stresses or the frustrations or the tensions that are there? There's all sorts of stuff that's going on around us, and we are there as Christ's representatives. And we get to go in step with the Spirit as the Spirit leads us, and we get to do amazing things for God. And this is what this text is talking about. And for Hannah and myself, what that's meant is we've done things like at Easter time, we created an Easter egg treasure hunt in our street, and we had a whole load of different families came along, and they had this clues like a scavenger hunt all around our neighbourhood, and ended up at our front lawn, and they had candy and prizes and stuff for the adults. Great way to connect with people. Easter morning, we did a little Easter service on our front lawn. We've done a prayer gathering on our front lawn as well. We've been obviously serving neighbours, and some of them are at risk, and we'll do grocery runs or whatever, try and practically help. Trying to bring fun into our community, because some people, it's a real slog at the moment. So just trying to do joyful, fun, encouraging things. We've written to our street twice, just in telling them about some of the things we're doing, but also to encourage them and to say, hey, we're here, we want to form community. We've created a little neighbourhood Facebook group where people can chat and connect, those who like to do social media. That works for them. So we're just trying different things. We're going to do drinks on our front lawn on Friday night and invite people just to bring a drink. And you can be 6 feet apart and all the rest of it in family groups, but we're trying things to build that sense of community and to be a household who get the opportunities to represent Jesus. And we do those community connection things as we sense the Spirit's leading us and prompting us. But we do them to bless people and to encourage them, but also so that we can spot the ones who are open to the more meaningful conversations, and out of that spot the ones who actually are open to spiritual conversations as this and God will lead us into those. And he's done that already. We've had some amazing conversations in the past 3 or 4 weeks with people who for the past 5 years we've not been able to get spiritual conversations with. But we're in a unique time right now where there is an unusual openness to the message of Christ and to the gospel. And you know, you don't need to be a person who has all the answers. You don't need to be Bible answer man or woman. But instead, what you do have is your testimony. You've got your story of how Jesus is at work in you. You have that ability to, when your neighbour is stressed and worried and concerned about what's going on, you have that ability to turn to them and smile and say, you know, I know it's hard having the kids at home. And gosh, you know, perhaps you've got elementary kids at home, and it's just so, you know, it's full on. And God bless those teachers. When will the schools reopen? and you're trying to work as well at the same time. But we get to say to that neighbour, you know what, I just think God will want to help you be a better parent at this time. I think God wants to give you his strength and his resources and his resilience. Could I pray for that for you? Or maybe your neighbour's financially taxed. Maybe they've had their hours diminished, or they've even lost their job. And it's an incredibly stressful, trying time. People are thinking, where's my rent coming from? How's the mortgage being paid? How am I paying the car loan? Whatever it is, how are we putting food on the table? And we can't fully resolve all those issues for everyone, but we know someone who can. And what we get to do is, in a loving, kind, tender way, come alongside and say, you know, I just think God wants to help you in this time. So could I pray for you that God will provide for you in amazing and wondrous ways? And people are wide open to those sorts of conversations. And I think the key for you and for me as we do those is that we are listening to the Spirit. What I mean by that is we have an ear that's tuned to what God might be whispering to us in that moment with that person. We're willing to be bold. We're willing to try things. We're willing to take risks. Sometimes we're going to fail. But we're willing to operate like spiritual men and women in our communities. And what I love about this text is that Paul is praying. He says at the beginning that he prays that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened. And that's just as a kind of a poetic way of saying that we would be listening, we'd be attentive to what the Spirit is saying to us, and that we would, he said, that we have our eyes, though our hearts open, enlightened, that we may know the hope to which he has called you. And you know, the thing is, there is such a desperate need for hope in our world right now. People are gripped with fear. I think fear comes in three main buckets. So it's fear of sickness, it's fear of death, and it's fear of lack, hence toilet paper hoarding and all the rest of it. And we have an answer to that. And the answer isn't my or your clever wisdom. It's not, we don't have to have the practical solutions, although sometimes we do need to roll up our sleeves or open our wallets or whatever it is. But actually, we have something far longer lasting, which is we have access to a true hope. We can point our friends, our neighbours, to Jesus, who is the one who really is the answer to all our hopes. And as we get this opportunity to do that, what it does is it transforms people's perspective on what's going on. That's going back to the eyes of the heart being opened. It's like you're drawing back a veil, and they get to see a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of operating, which up to now has been either completely absent, or it's been hidden by this mist, by this something that's got this veil that's in the way that's preventing people from really embracing that and encountering that. And if you're a follower of Jesus, part of what you're commissioned to do, and this, by the way, these are your standing orders. These aren't just for the spiritual super duper ones. It's not just for Justin and Sarah to do or something like that. This is for everyone to do. If you're a follower of Jesus, even at a baby level, you are meant to be someone who gets to point people to the power and the presence of Jesus, the difference that Jesus can make in their lives. And the thing is this, when we talk about the hope that we have in Jesus, it's not hope as in cross my fingers, here's a wishful kind of thing. Like people might say, you know, I hope that there'll be world peace forever, or I hope that one day someone will just give us $10 million. You know, those are like, that's just wishful thinking. But that's very different to what the Bible means by hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's something which is sure, and it is certain, and it is robust, and it's something you can lean on. You can put all your weight upon it, and you can lean on it, and it's going to hold you up. And the reason it can be so strong is because it's a hope that's founded upon the reality of God's character and God's nature. Because God is a good God. God is a faithful, loving, kind, generous Father, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. He loves to bless, and he wants to do that directly to your neighbors. He wants to bless them. He wants them to prosper. He wants them their businesses to, unless they're really wicked businesses, he wants to see them flourish. He wants to see their family life be wholesome. He wants to see marriages strengthened rather than diminished in this time. He wants to see the hungry being fed. He wants to see the jobless get employment. He wants to help them in all these situations, and the same he does for you and me. And sometimes he does it directly, We pray for them and boom, the answer comes and people will rejoice and they'll sit. And we've seen that happen in these days. I can promise you we've seen that happen. But also sometimes the way he does that is through people like you and me. And we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus in those situations. But regardless, either way, the empowering that we get to do this is not, doesn't come from our own strength. It's not your own muscles or cleverness or cunning plan. Instead, that this text tells us where that empowering comes from. He says that we have this, verse 19, we have this incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. So in other words, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and me. The same power that brought Jesus back to life, and not only that, has raised him up so he is seated in the highest heavenly places, in the place of greatest authority. That's what that language represents. That same power can channel through you when you pray for your neighbor. That same power can come through you when you pray for your neighbor's healing if they're suffering sickness. And we've been involved praying for several people who've had COVID-19 and there's been dramatic healings in hospital rooms as people have been praying for them. He's the same God who can supernaturally, that same power can supernaturally provide for them financially. And we've seen that with a number of situations where God has just turned around situations where people have had all their income, 75% of their income just dry up. And yet now they're praying and they're seeing God provide just through completely unfathomable ways, gifts coming and checks in the mail and suddenly new job opportunities working up or contracts coming for someone which that before they had no hope in. And God loves to do that sort of stuff. And that's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that can do that. Because for God, it's just a tiny thing. For us, it's enormous. It's all-consuming if money dries up, isn't it? But for God, it's a tiny. And he can do that. And he can do that not only in your life. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a tough time right now, if you've lost your job or there's tension in relationships at home or you or someone close to you is battling this sickness, I want to encourage you, God can supernaturally intervene. So get on your knees. Keep calling upon him. We're encouraged in scripture to pester and to pester and pester in prayer. So that's legal to do. Jesus tells us, you know, ask and you and to knock and to seek. We're to be the persistent ones in prayer. So let's do that if you have that need. But also let's do that on behalf of others. And let's be the ones who step out in boldness as this text encourages us to do, recognizing that it's not our own power, our own cleverness, but it's God's resurrection power in us. And the last thing I want to just put out that passage is that it talks about that we have the riches of our glorious inheritance in Christ. And so the key to understanding this power and to exercising it is that you don't earn it. It's not because you've been particularly holy all week long that God does that. It's not because you passed a Bible knowledge test, as although, you know, it's learn your Bible, that's a good thing to do. But it's not about your own works. Instead, it's an inheritance. In other words, it's a gift that's given to you out of relationship. So what you can do to foster this is to keep fueling your relationship with God, keep fueling your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he's for you. Believe that the same power he exerted to raise Christ from the dead is available to you as you go in God's name, in Christ's name, into your neighborhood as the one who carries the source of greatest hope, the greatest transformation that's going to be a blessing for everyone who you encounter. So I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. In fact, I want to commission you this week as you go out. Go in God's name, in God's authority, with God's power, that you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus with your neighbours. So what we're going to do to finish is we're just going to be quiet for like 20 seconds. And what I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do is to bring to mind one person or one situation where you I'd encourage you today or tomorrow as you get out of watching this, being part of this gathering online, is I want you to go to that person and to minister to them in Christ's name. And so we're going to ask the Lord to bring someone specific to mind. So you might just come to your mind maybe a name, or you might see someone's face in your mind's eye, or you might almost like just be aware, oh yeah, that's who it is. You just kind of know that's who it is. And then step out in faith, and step out in boldness, and reach out to them, that person who's not yet a follower of Jesus, and allow God to take you on a crazy fun adventure of serving them. So let's just be quiet now. Let me say, Holy Spirit, would you bring to mind that one person or that one situation where you want me to go and to represent you in the next couple of days? And so, Lord, we just commit that situation to you. Give us boldness to step in there. Give us a willingness to take risks. And we pray that you would come and glorify yourself in that family or in that household, that you would draw those neighbours of ours closer to you, that they'd have encounters with you and they would experience the hope that only you, Lord Jesus, can bring. And we go in confidence, trusting that your resurrection power will be alive through us as we pray and as we seek to serve and minister to these people. And it's to your glory, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.